Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Only if there was something to talk about in the college football world, Diesel. Nothing happened this weekend, so we're going to move on and talk about the World Series for the next 3 hours of the show and preview what happened in NASCAR over the weekend. I'm kidding. I'm joking. A packed, jam-packed show coming your way. Welcome into Wire to Wire, hour number two. We have Overreaction Monday, 1 hour from now, taking your phone calls at 5 o'clock. So do not forget calling the show. Utolo, that's right, you're calling the show in 1 hour from now. Can't wait to hear from you and hear what your overreaction may be. But some quick hits on a college football roundup. This is not a Daily Wire segment, but Diesel, we have like seven things to get to, and maybe even more than that, depending on what comes up. We'll also get to some text on the text line that we haven't gotten to yet, like this funny one right here from JT and Greer. You brought this one up during the break, Diesel. JT says, I think whoever wins the South Carolina-Clemson game is safe. The other coach could possibly be fired. Is that out of the realm of possibility?
If it's a 3-score game, like there's nothing that we've seen so far that would suggest that South Carolina is capable of scoring 21 points, let alone beating Clemson by 21 points. But if that were to be the case, heart of hearts, soul-searching time for you Clemson fans. If South Carolina punked you by 3 touchdowns, at Williams-Brice Stadium to end the season and maybe cost you bowl eligibility. Mm. Would you be willing to say those 3 syllables? Fire, Dabo, Sweeney.
I think some or fans
fired,
would.
Fire, Dabo. Is Dabo
fire?
Too,
I think fire.
Fire,
right?
Dabo. It depends on if you want to chant it. You know,
oh, yeah, chant
it's
out.
4 syllables.
I think some fans would. I think some fans would. Unfortunately, here's where we are in the college football season for Clemson and South Carolina. That's the only thing left for fans. I know players like are still trying to play for their own draft stock, but that's all that's left. Texter from the 491 says, we all know Riley isn't there to run Garrett Riley's offense. He's there to run Clemson's offense. Can't blame him for Dabo's terrible offense. Texter, I just don't know that to be true.
What are you basing that off
of? I don't know. Like, here's the problem. My issue with that text is we have now seen 3 years of Garrett Riley's offense. You can't convince me that Dabo Sweeney has implemented his offense for 3 years, and Garrett Riley's just calling the plays. Like, you just can't convince me of that. So,
yeah, not, what even is Dabo's offense, right? He was a wide receivers coach, never an offensive coordinator.
I think that's just a
convenient scapegoat
answer. Theme that's, I don't think there's any legs to that. I would actually think opposite, to be honest with you. I would think opposite if I had to pick one. RJ on the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line says, Clemson only had, all caps, one rushing play that was double-digit yards. A 12-yard run by Randall. Watch Dabo keep saying the "we don't need to use the portal" BS. I'm with you, RJ. 100% yeah. Agree with you there. Let's see here. Texter says, "No, I'm the bad luck. Can't vote against my FSU, and it's killing me, as well as fourth quarter comebacks. I think I've lost three so far," sitting at zero, talking about the upset picks challenge. Texter says, "Literally, Dabo said that Garrett was there to run the Clemson offense when he was introduced." That's just not true. I'm telling you, it's not true. You're not going to convince me that Garrett Riley is there for 3 years running Dabo Swinney's offense. You're just not. Garrett Riley, that's 3 years.
Yeah, why do you fire an OC just to bring in another guy
to
and
run
say,
your offense? Yeah.
Hey, guess what? You, sir, who were wildly successful at your previous location, you're not going to get to do any of that stuff. You're going to do what we tell you to do. Garrett Riley's not taking that job.
And in fact, if you go back, Texter, and listen to press conferences like I do every week, you've actually heard Dabo Swinney say over the years, "I've brought this play up. I've brought this play in. We're going to implement this play. I think this will work. We've implemented it into the game plans." I'm telling you. I'm not saying like you're dead. I just don't believe it. I just have no inclination to believe that's true.
If that's the case, Dabo would be the head coach OC.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have an offensive coordinator.
RJ says Clemson and South Carolina football are so bad, this year's game may be moved to 11:30 p.m. on Lifetime. That'd be tragic. Or 5 a.m., right? I don't know. Tolos, don't forget Overreaction Monday, 1 hour from now. Want to hear from you on the phone lines when they are open at 844-326-3663. Diesel, let's do a little college football roundup. Our thoughts on several things that happened over the weekend. I hate to do this, but Diesel, we have to give credit where credit's due. We laugh. We make fun of Dewey. But I don't know if Dewey's still watching, by the way. Dewey called into the show on Thursday or Friday, and Dewey called for Miami to lose to Louisville, and I laughed at Dewey and basically called him crazy.
See, I don't know that Dewey meant it.
I think he did. I think he knows his ball.
I think Dewey exists right now only to troll Madcraft. Because every single time Dewey messages in or calls in, he's all over Madcraft about Miami letting Florida State back into that game, letting it become close again.
By the way, is Madcraft okay? Like, has anybody heard from that guy?
I did message him on over the weekend just to make sure that he was okay.
Yeah,
and he messaged me back. He's doing fine. He's alive. Well, let me rephrase that. I messaged him Saturday. Uh-huh. I didn't message him on yesterday after we found out the Chargers lost.
Yeah. It was bad. It was a bad weekend for old Madcraft. But I got to give Dewey credit. Maybe Dewey knows ball. Maybe Dewey knows.
Oh, gosh.
Diesel, how bad is that? Carson Beck, 4 interceptions. Louisville, like we talked about that game on Friday on this show. And we know Miller Moss is capable of winning big games. We saw him do it against LSU, but what did we say over and over last year? Miami just couldn't put together the consistency they needed, and once again, Miami's tripped up. I'm not saying their season's over. It's only one loss.
Did you make a big deal out of Carson Beck essentially throwing his receivers under the bus in his post-game press conference saying,
I'm glad you
essentially
brought that up.
they ran the wrong route?
It's a good question. 5 years ago, Diesel, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I have a huge issue with it. Today, 2025, and in the future, I don't have a problem with it anymore. You know why? These cats are making millions of dollars. I've changed my stance. I used to be on the side of, no, they don't need a, he needs to be a better leader. Don't call anybody out. Screw that. I'm to the point now with this college football. I'm so sick of what it's become. These guys are making millions. You don't do your job, you're not doing your job. You need to be called. Accountability might be a good thing. Should he have said that publicly? Maybe not, but I don't have a huge issue with it.
No, I don't have a problem with it at all either. If he ran the wrong route, and that would be between Carson, the receivers, and the offensive coordinator, what was the play? Did you do what you were supposed to do? If you didn't do it And I say flat out, this is what you were supposed to do, and you did something else that caused this play not to work. That's not unfair. That's not an unfair criticism. Like, I know that most quarterbacks and they're polished, and head coaches are polished, and they'll say, well, that's on me for not coaching it correctly. Hey, you can coach it right all day. If your players don't go out there and run it right, that's on them.
Now, he was bad, too. Let's put that out there. Carson
terrible.
Beck had four interceptions and zero touchdowns. So as long as he's okay with admitting, whether he's talking about C.J. Daniels or the Marion kid, whatever, whoever he's talking about, as long as he's okay with saying, hey, I did not help this team win in any way whatsoever against Louisville. I threw four interceptions. Miller Moss threw two touchdowns and zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. You deserve to lose that game, period.
Yeah. I saw a lot of Georgia fans saying, oh, there he is. There's the Carson Beck we know. There's the Carson Beck we jettisoned and got rid of. Look, I mean, if you're mistake-prone, if you're interception-prone, in all likelihood, even though he started off with, seven games,
yeah,
where he was really, really good, eventually, for whatever reason, that's going to rear its ugly head. It's going to come back, and it stinks when they all happen in one game. You know, it's like you can't explain it. I was sitting next to our counterparts up at the Spartanburg station on Saturday, and we were just thinking, like, how does it happen? What is the catalyst? What is the unexplainable cause for you just having the worst game of your life?
Yeah.
You know, when you just make multiple mistakes, you throw four picks in a single game, you hadn't had four picks all season.
Mm-hmm.
Or this just keeps happening over and over and over again. There's no explanation for it. It's the yips. It's didn't get a good enough night of sleep the night before. I don't know what it is, and coaches can't figure it out. If they could, they'd get paid millions of dollars to coach that out of the teams.
We got to get to Billy Napier next, but let's go to the phone lines where Rick from Greer wants to get in. We do have a few quick seconds to get to Rick. What's up, Rick?
I don't know what to think about the Panthers. Okay, they're 4-3. Their real game is coming up this week.
Correct.
They play Buffalo. If they beat Buffalo, I'll be on the Panther bandwagon, baby.
Oh, he's
but if
back.
They lose,
you'll be back, huh?
If they lose, I'm taking my PSL and selling it right there and then.
Rick, will you be listening?
$5.
Did he just say that?
Okay, Rick, you're gone.
Did Rick just say that?
Man, Rick.
Rick never said
that. Did he say bucks? For $5?
I don't know.
Because I really thought I heard an F word.
I don't know. What did I? It sounded like
Rick.
Maybe Rick didn't mean to.
Watching on the stream, what did you hear?
Oh, man.
On the stream, what did you hear? Because you guys are getting the
full. For those on the radio, you won't hear it because I dumped it.
You're getting the full unadulterated version.
I don't know if he said bucks or
you know
the other word. That's a good question. Hopefully
Rick,
he didn't.
I don't know.
I don't think Rick would do
Rick's
that.
Rick's never cursed on the radio.
No.
Not on purpose.
I don't think he would do it. I think he said bucks.
And we just freaked out.
It didn't sound like bucks, though. So
I really thought I heard something else.
Rick, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
If you said $5, Rick, then we owe you an apology
that's right.
Bucks.
Oh, that's funny. All right, next on the College Football Roundtable, Billy Napier, he's gone. We talked about it in the Daily Wire's Diesel. Regardless of what happened, it seemed that that guy was going to be gone. And Billy Napier being gone from Florida, James Franklin being gone from Penn State with just a matter of weeks, seismic shifts, seismic impacts to the landscape of college football. What was your reaction to Billy?
I said, my thought was, hey, I'm glad that he no longer has to live under that kind of pressure.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, he's probably relieved to have been relieved of his duties.
You know, I think Billy Napier is the kind of guy, I watched his postgame press conference. I think that guy's at peace. And I tell you what, credit to him. Because I couldn't be. I'd be a little bit stressed out, right? But that guy, and I know $21 million makes you a little bit more at peace, but that guy kind of seemed easy. If you watch that press conference, he kind of seemed to know that that was it. He was okay with it. And I respect that. it's tough. Yeah, $21 million makes it a lot easier, but still, you are still getting fired.
How long does it take for Dabo Swinney to rehire Billy Napier and bring him back to Clemson?
Because
he's been on staff before. Think about it. That is one thing that Clemson has done an awful job at over the past 10 years. You sit and you watch Nick Saban stack former head coaches on his staff again and again and again, right? Guy gets fired from some middling power four job.
Yeah.
He comes to Nick Saban, works on his staff for a couple of years. All of a sudden, bam, he's the hottest thing again, and he's getting jobs in the SEC. Dabo Swinney has not done that. He has not brought in former head coaches, except for Tom Allen. That might be the first one that I can think of. But Allen also had stops in between being a head coach and coming to Clemson.
Breaking news, Madcraft is out from under the rock on the stream. He says it sounded like an F word to him. So we'll go back and listen to it during the break.
Tail of the tape.
Next on the college football roundtable, FSU kicking the can down the road on Mike Norvell, saying, look, we're going to wait till the end of the season. They released an official statement. The rumors and reports, Diesel, over the weekend were true, that there were conversations being had. But I just don't know how this ends well for Mike Norvell because – Brett McMurphy, did you see the tweet that Brett McMurphy sent out earlier today about his age?
I didn't.
So here's what sums it up, Diesel. I'm going to read it on the air for you. Listen to this. This was tweeted 6 hours ago. Mike Norvell was 42 years old when Florida State won its last ACC game, okay? He was 42.
Okay.
Norvell turned 44 2 weeks ago. Again, Mike Norvell was 42 years old when Florida State won its last ACC game.
Wow.
Game. Norvell turned 44 2 weeks ago. That is pathetic.
Yeah.
This is not the SEC. This is the ACC. That tweet right there that I retweeted, you can find it on Twitter, Tolos at @TheColeBryson. That tweet deserves – that warrants firing the guy.
Yeah, four straight losses. You start, you know, with one of the hottest starts in college football you could possibly have. You beat Alabama in week one at your place after having a god-awful season the year before. And everybody thinks, oh, my God, you're back. This is a playoff-caliber team for Florida State this year. And then you lose four in a row to teams you shouldn't be losing to.
42 years old when he won his last ACC game, and now he's 44. That is not good. This is the ACC we're talking about.
His losses came to Virginia. I mean, no shame in losing to number 3 Miami.
Yeah.
Pitt, who you out-talent, and Stanford.
Yeah, horrible loss.
Stanford, who shouldn't even be in your conference. You're losing to Stanford.
And they may win, what, two more? They have Wake, Clemson, Virginia Tech, NC State, and Florida.
If they win two, who are those?
Probably
two
Wake Forest and NC.
I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, they win one more. Next on the college football round table, the AP poll, Diesel, came out on Sunday, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the AP top 25 looks a lot different than we expected it to look. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Alabama has climbed their way back to 4, Georgia 5, Oregon 6. They moved up two spots even after that loss a couple of weeks ago. Georgia Tech moved up five spots to number 7. Ole Miss 8, Miami 9, and top 10, rounding out the top 10 is Vandy, moving up 7 spots after beating LSU. Vanderbilt now 6-1 on the season. Again, top 10 is Vandy 10, Miami 9, Ole Miss 8, Georgia Tech 7, Oregon 6, Georgia 5, Bama 4, A&M 3, Indiana 2, Ohio State 1, and Diesel, the bad news is two of those top five, South Carolina has to play in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really tough. Really tough for South Carolina to reach bowl eligibility.
Really tough. So we'll continue, Tolos, to hit on college football all show. We have a absolute loaded show coming up.
When we come back, let's talk all things Clemson Tigers football and what our expert guest in the very next segment saw. Grayson Mann, TigerNet, joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, in some ways, Clemson acquitted themselves better than we expected on Saturday, and in other ways, they absolutely did not. Flopped hard. To talk about all of those things, Grayson Mann of TigerNet joins us here on Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson. Grayson, before we get too deep into these questions, what's the absolute latest on Bryant Wesco's neck injury? Do we have any updates since kind of what was coming out earlier today?
Yeah, none that I'm really able to provide at this time, but he did share an update on social media. So anytime you have a player with a neck concern, if he's able to move his extremities like typing on his phone, for example, I think that's a positive update. We're going to get more from Dabo Swinney here in about an hour, but if you guys really want my full take, when you got a coach asking the fan base for prayers hours after the game and he's in the hospital for a neck injury, when the season's trending the way it's trending, I wouldn't play him.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. It's tough to hear. Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com, joining us right here on the Fan Upstate. If you have a question Clemson-related for Grayson, hit us up on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line, 844-326-3663. 3-4 now, Grayson, are the Clemson Tigers. You and I and everybody else heard Dabo Swinney post-game against SMU. I know you've had a chance to rewatch it. Your biggest takeaway and what went wrong for Clemson on Saturday?
Yeah, it's been a season that's continued to really outline the issues program-wide that have really plagued Clemson so far in 2025. But I'm watching that game, and I think a lot of the big talking points prior to that matchup is they knew Christopher Vezina was going out there to start. I don't think Klubnik, his chances of playing were that high at all. That might have just been purely for window dressing for SMU, just to see if, oh, maybe Klubnik might give it a go today. So you have this idea that you're going to have a quarterback that's making his first start, and the two things you need to establish are the run game, and you need to be solid on defense, and both tasks were failed tremendously on Saturday. Adam Randall had his worst game of the day. Couldn't read the holes particularly well and had a couple big blocks that resulted in a strip sack of Vezina where he's absolutely looking for. And in real time, I thought that was more on him. And this is where the rewatch and watching it on the broadcast where they replay it 60 times, you get to see that angle, and Randall completely whiffs on a pressure on the edge from SMU. So overall, I don't think you left that stadium going. And Cole, you and I talked about this heading to the press room. I don't think you leave that stadium going, Christopher Vezina lost you the game on Saturday. Would I like to see more from CV this season? Absolutely. Maybe against a pass defense that's a little bit more capable than SMU. But absolutely, I think that the season, the way it's trending right now, this is just not a good football team. And we continue to get evidence as to why on a weekly basis.
Grayson, putting yourself into Dabo Swinney's headspace, did Christopher Vezina do enough on Saturday? 300-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, a good day for him. Did he do enough to secure his role as starter for next year?
No, we don't have enough. I think he was solid. But at the same time, one start to justify throwing him into the lion's den that is Death Valley at LSU on the opening kick for 2026, that's a tall task. That's a tremendous jump. Now, is he capable? If we'd maybe seen this is game 4 and he's slowly getting better, I'd start to be pointing towards yes. But after one game against a bad pass defense where Clemson really wasn't all that willing to push the ball down the field unless it was absolutely necessary, and so for 4th and 21 to Tristan Smith, some throws to TJ Moore that I feel like were more about the receiver than necessarily Vezina putting it in the right spot. He made the right throw, but I wasn't sitting there like, that's an elite throw from Christopher Vezina. I felt like those were elite catches from TJ Moore and Tristan Smith. So my answer is no right now. That's not because I don't think he played bad on Saturday. I think it's just one game isn't enough for me to justify completely leaving a quarterback out of the portal conversation for the offseason.
Grayson, you mentioned Dabo Swinney speaking in just a little while. No Tuesday presser this week with Clemson having a bye week. What do you believe, not only yourself, but other media members and fans are wanting to hear the most out of when Dabo speaks here in just a little while?
I think it's sort of deja vu where they wanted to see how things would operate after the Syracuse game, where you're heading into an open date with a lot of uncertainty. And he said that it's a new season and Clemson can still win the season. And of course they went 2-0 on the road. But I think that you and I had talked on Monday last week about what those two games necessarily meant for Clemson. Was that the beneficiary of playing bad football teams that are a grade below you in terms of North Carolina's mess and Boston College dealing with a bunch of injuries? That team just lost to UConn on Saturday. I know UConn's gotten a lot better, but not getting really great for Bill O'Brien there in Chestnut Hill. So I think it confirmed a lot of our suspicions about Clemson this year with SMU, is that when they can't rise to the occasion against good football teams. And I would consider SMU a very good, not great, football team. And Clemson was outcoached and outplayed.
Grayson, we know that when a coach gets fired, recruits start abandoning ship. We've seen it several times now already with James Franklin and him leaving at Penn State. Dabo Swinney obviously isn't going anywhere, but the disappointments are starting to stack up for a lot of fans, and that certainly affects recruiting and upcoming classes. Is there an erosion of confidence from anybody that you've heard from or been able to infer who are already committed, or does it seem like those commits, they're holding strong?
I would say Clemson's in a fantastic spot recruiting-wise, and at least when we talk about their people that are locked in, they're pledged, they're close to signing the dotted line here in about 2 months. And every conversation that I've had, and I've really pushed the needle when asking certain questions of how does this group necessarily feel about where things are headed? Do they think this is fixable? And the confidence that you've gotten from this group is that they believe not only are things going to be okay, they're going to be the ones to come and do it and fix this thing. I talked to a 4-star safety last night who's committed to Clemson, and he said that this class talks all the time about how this is going to be the group to turn it around, and there's no reason, and nobody's concerned about anyone else jumping ship. Dre Quinn, obviously the 4-star defensive end that decommitted, an isolated incident, but overall this class very confident that they're going to all stick together here in the next coming months, and that they're confident they potentially could come in immediately and make things happen.
Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com. Grayson, a tough one for you here. Big picture kind of question. You know, I am in the camp. I said this back about an hour ago. I'm in the camp that I believe Dabo Swinney has some very, very, very tough decisions to make in the offseason. But I also am in the camp that, like I said on the air, I believe that Dabo should be the one that gets the opportunity to get this thing turned around. However, Grayson, I want to ask you, and I ask myself this same question multiple times and have this weekend, in the new era of college football, not pre-portal, not pre-NIL, but in the new era of college football, what has Dabo Swinney shown us, shown Clemson fans, that we all of a sudden should believe that Dabo can turn this around in the new era of college football?
Right, and there is that argument for sure, is that post-Trevor Lawrence, which is about when this NIL thing started,
yeah,
is Clemson's been very average as a program. One playoff appearance and two conference championships in a league that's been deemed the worst of the Power Four in between the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC. Clemson's only a two-time champion, not going to go to Charlotte this year. Multiple three-loss seasons, multiple four-loss seasons. In that stretch. So, yeah, there is a reason to be doubtful whether Dabo Swinney is going to be the guy to get it done. I think he deserves to be the one to fix this, and this is certainly their worst year. Felt 2023, that wasn't a good football team on talent-wise, and maybe we're discovering that about this year. But this truly feels like the reset where it all comes crashing down. You just had made the playoffs. There was so much hype, tremendous amount of buzz, and it's come crashing down, and it came down pretty quickly.
But,
so now with Clemson, it's all about moving forward, and I do think Swinney has deserved and earns the right to be the one to come and fix it. But I think this is his most important offseason yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of critical decisions he has to make, whether that's staff or through the portal. And so looking at it from just that lens specifically, if things aren't fixed this offseason, and I don't mean like all of a sudden they're 13-0. That's not sure. realistic. I think 9-10 wins next year has got to be sort of that progress bar that you're looking for. Fringe playoff team, if so, maybe you can sneak in. But they got to start making steps and got to evaluate it as this program is, if there's a mountaintop, they're back at the bottom and they need to find a way to climb. And it's going to be a slow climb, but it's going to come down to what moves they make this offseason to see if that starts to happen or they start digging a hole 6 feet under.
And I think I'm with you, and I think a lot of people are with you and on the same page that Dabo does deserve the opportunity, but we're not going to... Like, my biggest problem is we're allowing Clemson fans to say, well, he did go get Will Helt. Like, he went and got one guy. Like, Will Helt. Is he? Like, that's what I'm saying. Do we believe that Dabo Swinney is going to go out between now and freaking April and get 10, 15 guys from the portal? I just don't know if Clemson fans really believe that's going to happen or not.
I think if there's one positive, it's that if you're Dabo Swinney, you're looking at sort of the roster – and you start to look at yourself and go, who's giving me the most effort? Who's playing the best as of late? And I got to feel like your top five are Will Helt and Tristan Smith in some particular order. And then you start to make that correlation of, okay, there's something there. There's evidence that if I could just bring in maybe a few extra pieces that can make solid contributions, then you can start trending in the right direction. I think at this point in college football, if you want to be a consistent contender, you got to bring in about a quarter of your roster because you're going to lose about a quarter every offseason. And Clemson's going to lose a lot of players that they contribute. They're counting on to contribute in big ways. Now, you may feel differently about them than you did in August, but you're still losing bodies. And so you got to go fill that. Will this class upcoming still be ready? Not entirely sure. I know they have guys that can come in and immediately play. Naeem Murrows is one of those at receiver that I think can come in and be an instant impact player. But that's one of 20. And we could certainly dive into the weeds of that recruiting class. But overall, you got to go into the portal and find guys you are confident in, don't need to be in the crock pot. There's not a situation where you go get a Tristan Smith and a Jeremiah Alexander. They haven't really played much this year. You got to go find a different type of player. You got to go find 10 Will Helts who can come in and start immediately. And that's the nature of the business now. That's what makes Ohio State, Notre Dame, we could go on and on and on, but that's what makes some of those great teams championship contenders.
Grayson, do you think it's possible, and maybe the most realistic way to ask this question, is there enough money for Dabo to have his cake and eat it too? Is it possible to maintain two systems when it comes to NIL? Giving the guys who remain loyal, who perform, giving those guys NIL as they get deeper and deeper into their careers, and at the same time have a pool of money large enough to go buy a couple of players, for lack of a better word, buy a couple of guys who can immediately impact.
I think next year you're going to be in a better situation financially because you were so tied to the players that were still here, the Klubnicks, the Parkers, the Antonio Williams, the Peter Woods. A lot of cash was in retention. Now I think a lot of cash is going to be in more of a shopping spree because realistically, I think Clemson can compete on a national level in the transfer portal. And now there's going to be this sense of you can come in and be the guy to do it and come rebuild with this group. They've gone out and competed for a Will Held, who was a high commodity in the transfer portal, because they really felt like on this roster, they didn't need too many pieces because they had the retention was so there. It was supposed to be Dabo's year of him doing it his way while adding a few pieces in the portal. That hasn't become the case. So this upcoming offseason, when you lose so many players, you got to question at quarterback. I do think you're going to have a lot more money to play around with to be a little bit more creative in the transfer portal. So that's what I think is exciting, is it's put up or shut up time. And I think we'll get to see what Sweeney does here in a few months and how true he will stick to that philosophy.
Grayson, there's a narrative going around, and we had a texter getting in with us earlier in the show about this, and I don't know where you stand. I'd love to know, but the theory that Garrett Riley is not running his offense. I simply don't believe that's true. I have asked and probed and really digged to find out if that's true, and I have not found anything that leads me to believe that. Where do you stand on that narrative that I've heard now for several years?
Yeah, it's been the popular narrative, and I think you never help yourself when Sweeney's first words when Riley sits on that desk in the Smart Family Media Center and goes, he's not coming here to run his offense, he's running here to come to Clemson offense.
Yeah.
So then people naturally begin to wonder.
Right, and the text brought that up too. Yeah.
Yes, so that quote doesn't help you, but I have everything that I know and everything that I've heard. Garrett's running the show. He's calling the shots. Dabo obviously has a tremendous amount of input. He's the head coach. All head coaches do. That's just the belly of the beast, the nature of how things are run. But overall, I haven't heard anything that would indicate that Riley's being paid millions of dollars to just kind of sit there on the sideline. That's not happening.
Correct.
At Gray_man21 on Twitter, go find him, give him a follow. We saw Nick Saban stack kind of wayward head coaches who had been fired on his staff for years. This is just kind of a thought experiment. What recently fired or hot seat coach would fit right into this staff if Dabo wanted to start doing the same thing, bringing in more and more guys? And I know Tom Allen was a head coach a couple of years ago, but who do you think would say, all right, that guy would fit right in?
It's funny because he left the same way, but Billy Napier is a name that's been thrown around as being an offensive piece, as someone to come in. I see it at the top of the screen here about Napier, so I feel like that's probably low-hanging fruit. But yeah, there are some coaches that you look around the country, I don't know if they'll necessarily be hot commodities on the coaching search. And you did see Dabo Sweeney bringing someone like Mike Houston, who was let go and is in sort of an analyst role that's, as sort of put it, it's an unpaid volunteer, which is the best part because someone else is paying his contract. So maybe there's an aspect of you can get the phone and say, hey, maybe you give this 2 years and you help Clemson back to restore it to its former glory, and there will be a head coaching job around for you somewhere because I got the contacts and the connections to be able to do it. There's possibilities, and that's what makes this offseason fun, is there's going to be a lot of movement, not just players in the portal, but it's going to be like the coaching portal in a sense. And maybe Napier isn't an immediate head coaching candidate, but man, would he be a great assistant somewhere? I wonder where.
Grayson, a few texts to get to in just a second. Before we move off of Garrett Riley, though, yes or no, in your opinion, not asking you to reveal any news or sources that you have or anything, but in your opinion, is Garrett Riley back next year?
I would be shocked if Garrett Riley's back next
year.
Me
too, yeah. Oof. I think everybody's pretty much on the same page.
Grayson, you might get more and more of these opportunities, but Duke-Clemson kickoff now set for noon on November 1st. for you personally, I don't know how much travel you have to do, but man, it's a lot going down to Clemson multiple times a week. What is the most elite time slot for you to be able to do your job? You got the noon slot, the 3:30 slot, or the night game?
Man, I mean, I like each one because I get to cover a game, but it's tough because I think a night game, you get to sort of sit around and watch college football all day, and then you're the main show. That's what made the LSU game so much fun, is you get to watch Ohio State, Texas at noon. You get to watch Alabama, Florida State at 3:30, and then boom, all of a sudden you're covering Clemson, LSU. And that was a blast in its own right. Obviously, fans of the Tigers, whichever way you want to go, loved or hated the result. But me sitting there, that's a fun football day. So personally for me, I like a noon kick because you can get up early in the morning, you can get it done, and then you can go watch football. And I have always enjoyed a Saturday night where I can go see my friends and just talk some football, especially with the Clemson game where everyone's kind of settled down a tad. So team no sleep, love a noon game. 3:30, nice little balance. 8 p.m., heck, who wouldn't want a primetime game? So I'm fine with all of them. We can play it 3 a.m. and I'd be happy.
Grayson, you might have heard this by now. You're a busy guy. You're covering your own beat. But have you heard the audio yet of Jack Veltri getting Shane Beamer a little testy early in his press conference? No,
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been a great year in Columbia either. So
I tell you what, let's play it. Let's let Grayson Mann hear this live on the air. This was the second question in Shane Beamer's post-game press conference after the loss to Oklahoma.
It's seven games now. The offense has just continued to struggle. At some point, do you feel like a change is needed, whether it's...
I made a change last week, Jack.
I'm talking about the play calling.
Every week, we're continuing to look at how to be better, and every week I do that. And every week, I will continue to do that and continue to evaluate that.
What gives you hope that the play
Next question.
Calling, okay.
Okay. So when was the last time you or the time that sticks out in your mind of when you got Dabo Swinney that heated?
When I did personally?
Yeah. Has it even happened?
Oh, it has. It has. So there was a time, so they had just finished playing Georgia last year. And of course, this is like maybe 2 months into this full-time gig with TigerNet. So I was thinking like, oh man, I just pissed Dabo Swinney off like 2 months.
You're done.
Great.
You're fired. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had said in July, trying to give App State a lot of credit. And so he said, man, doesn't matter what happens again, the Georgia game, because we got to turn it around and play a really good App State team. We got to have some urgency. And I had just watched Florida State within basically, what, 7-6 days go to 0-2. And so I just asked him, trying to bridge the two together, his statement and how quickly you can go 0-2 into a question. And he just heard Florida State and got really upset with me. He's like, I'm not talking about Florida State here. Like, what are we doing? And I'm just sitting there in the front row, red as a cherry, embarrassed. I was like, oh, man. But you know what? It happens. And so sometimes there's a natural conflict arises between coach and media. So Jack does great work. I don't know him personally, but he does good stuff for South Carolina. And, hey, sometimes if you get first named by head coach, it's not all bad.
No big deal. You just keep on moving. Grayson, you're the best, man. Can't wait to see and hear what Dabo says coming up shortly. People can follow you on Twitter where to see those comments?
Yeah, follow me at Gray_man21. We'll have a Bryant Wesco update, I believe. Sweeney will go in-depth on that. And then just overall, he gives his breakdown on what the heck happened on Saturday. And I think that's always nice to get that film breakdown from Sweeney. I have a few questions myself. Can't wait to go. Guys, you two are the best.
Appreciate you, man.
Open date.
You too. Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com reacts to what happened. And again, that Dabo audio or Dabo teleconference very, very soon. We'll react to what we hear. But Diesel, we witnessed the greatest individual performance in sports history on Friday night. I'm being that bold with it. In sports history, the greatest performance, and I mean, there's nothing out there that compares, nothing out there that competes with it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What am I talking about? Who was it? We'll tell you. We'll get into it next. Well, Diesel, I believe we saw on Friday night the greatest individual performance in the history of sports. What am I talking about? What happened Friday night? It was not college football related. It was not NFL related. Nothing to do with football. You mentioned in the Daily Wires that the Dodgers quickly took care of business, right? I don't know if our Tolos realize what Shohei Ohtani did on Friday night. But Diesel, what Shohei did and what Shohei Ohtani has done in the game of baseball, I have bad news for those out there that maybe don't like Shohei. I don't know if these records that Shohei Ohtani are breaking will ever, ever, ever be replicated. This guy, I mean, you've heard what happened. Three home run, 10 strikeout night. You're just talking about a guy that's breaking every record in the history of baseball, and he's not slowing down.
Yeah, I saw some funny, you know, memes and stitches and reels over the weekend, and it was somebody who went back in time and was talking to Babe Ruth and said, "Hey, Babe, I got to tell you, man, I got to warn you about a player that's coming that's going to be better than you." And he's like, "Well, what did he do? What did he do on the field?" "Oh, he had three home runs." "Oh, I could do that in a series. He pitches and he hits." "Oh, I'd do that." "He had 10 strikeouts." "Oh, yeah. I could do that in a series." He goes, "No, he did all that in a single game."
One game.
And his cigar fell out of his mouth.
One game.
One game. It's absurd.
So the history started earlier, long before Friday, right? So Ohtani led off the bottom of the first inning with a home run, becoming the first pitcher to hit a leadoff homer in any MLB game, Diesel, regular season or postseason. So it started right back in the first inning. He's the only postseason player in history to lead off a game he started on the mound, which he has now done twice, by the way. He didn't stop there. Ohtani went on to hit another home run in the fourth inning and a third in the seventh. He became the first pitcher with multiple home runs in a postseason game. On the mound, Ohtani went 6-plus scoreless innings, allowing 2 hits, striking out 10 batters. He's the first player in MLB history to strike out even 5 batters in a game where he hit 3 home runs, and he struck out 10. And that's in any game, regular season or postseason. Diesel, this was the second time in his career Ohtani had at least 10 strikeouts as a pitcher and multiple home runs, including playoffs. He's the only person ever to do that twice.
Yeah.
Nobody else. He also became the first player ever to strike out a batter and hit a home run in the first inning with a postseason game. I mean, the list could go on and on. Ohtani's three home runs in the postseason game he pitched, all in this one game, by the way, are the most of any player in a career games pitched ever. The only players to even have two are Bob Gibson and Dave McNally. And again, this is only like a half of the page of what he did. It was his 13th three-run home run game in postseason history. This guy's the best baseball player we've ever seen.
And there are many baseball historians that will not give him the credit for it. You know, those who are so entrenched that Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, name who you want to name, are the GOATs. I just, in some way, I feel kind of bad for Aaron Judge, right? Because Aaron Judge
so good.
Is so good. But he's so good in an era when Shohei is just better than he is. I mean, think about all those great players that played in the same era as Jordan and all the great players that have played in the same era as LeBron, and nobody cares.
Yep.
Nobody cares. It's what did Jordan do, what did LeBron do, what did Wilt do?
Ohtani didn't just hit three home runs Friday, Diesel. According to StatCast, he crushed them. Exit velocities of 116, 116.9, and 113.6. He became the first player ever with multiple home runs of at least 116 miles per hour in any regular season or postseason game. Again, in a game where he pitched. The two 116-mile-per-hour home runs came while Ohtani was in the game as a pitcher, marking the two hardest-hit home runs as a pitcher under StatCast history. And the longest of the home runs, Diesel, went a StatCast projected 469 feet, leaving Dodger Stadium per the team. The ballpark has not historically been known for frequent long home runs, but that was before Ohtani, right? Who now has 8 home runs of at least 450 feet at Dodger Stadium. No other player even has multiple 3 under StatCast.
Yeah, it's time for everybody who has dismissed Shohei or just kind of like put him on the back burners, right? Because he's not he might not be playing for your team.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into must watch every single night.
It's
and
great.
This is a great thing for baseball.
It's great.
God, the sport needs megastars like that. If Shohei could figure out a way to make himself more marketable in the sense of like you see him in commercials and in movies and all this stuff, he would be one of the biggest stars on the planet.
Yeah, I think he is.
In any industry.
I think he is. I think he already is. I think he's the greatest athlete on planet Earth right now. I mean, this guy, you go watch this guy. It just doesn't even look like a human being. It's just so impressive. And to your point, it's so good for the game. And it's good that he's in the World Series. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, there's players like LeBron who have left their prime that are still playing. You don't see them in the you know, NBA Finals or whatever. This is going to be a fun World Series, and a lot of it has to do with Shohei breaking more records, Diesel.
When we come back, Tolos, here is your chance to call the show. 844-326-3663 and overreact. Let them rip. What did you see over the weekend that's just been eating at you for the past 24, 36, 48 hours? Call in. You'll be on the phones next on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.